Any requests from this book? Heartfelt advice. Do you reading this book? Do you have any questions? Usually, when you read chapter by chapter, you may have a question and can't figure out yourself well. Then, bring them to the Sunday teachings. And when I ask something, you might get a chance to elaborate on that. That's how it works, generally speaking. So I have page 103. And page 103, something called Action of Truth Practitioner. Action of Truth Practitioner. So that's reason I just opened the book and that was up here. So gonna talk on that. Okay. Says the major difference between ordinary beings and spiritual practitioners is one of the attitude and motivation. The attitude and motivation that permeate the activities, both positive and negative. The message here is we really need to make ourselves differences between practitioners and non-practitioner. If we can't tell your practitioner or non-practitioner, then that means we're not doing right. Something wrong. In other words, Lama had to recognize your practitioner or not practitioner. And yourself, for sure, 100% one of the other, you need to be either practitioner or non-practitioner. What happened here is majority of people don't know they are practitioner or not practitioner. And that is a major problem. And then there is another group or another level. Sometimes you do some practice, other times you don't. That's also not good. That's also not good because it's not stable. It's not stable. So the message here is what that makes a difference is attitude, motivation. Attitude is very important. Attitude towards yourself, attitude towards others. Attitude, not altitude. Lately we are working on altitude. But the attitude is, I told a group of people, I took Mount College, long, long time ago when I was young and strong. I told them, your homework is work on your attitude and altitude. That was my homework. The altitude is because you have to go up mountains, so you better practice. And the attitude, you need to work on. And you can be good in altitude, but you're no good in attitude, major problem. Attitude is important in the day-to-day because the happiness of moment-to-moment is depend on attitude of moment-to-moment. Moment-to-moment. Momento, 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 uno momento. Okay. Anyway, moment-to-moment. And attitude and motivation. Pretty much similar, but I'm sure that little differences, even for the fifth language speaker, I can't differentiate much. But I know there is some difference between attitude versus motivation. You're motivated. Motivation is important. Positive motivation. You're motivated practitioner. You're motivated, you're so motivated, your practice become a second nature. That's kind of I like to hear. That's kind of what I like to see. The practice become a part of life where there is no extra effort needed. But that's not going to happen until you developed your practice, where your practice reaches, becomes second nature. I don't know you, how you drive, but I drive car. When I drive car, sometimes I don't realize I'm driving. And that's kind of like you're doing practice, what you don't realize you're practicing. It become a second nature, part of you. That's what you do. That's what you who you are, rather than something try to adapting new thing. So, once again, attitude towards yourself, attitude towards your dharma, attitude towards your life, has a lot to do with. Lot to do with the quality of your life, quality of who you are, what you are, who you are, what you are. We need to change because the blessings or the power of Buddha Dharma. According teaching, according sutra, all living beings have a potential and have a power to create positive or create negative. They all equally possess power. We need to remember that you have a power to do what it takes to do. And you have power to create a positive karma. You have power to create a negative karma. Regardless you believe creator or no creator. Regardless you believe creator or no creator. Hey, some people believe, some not believe. They're all walking side by side. And some says, I see God. And some says, I never see God. I never saw it. They're also walking side by side. They're even married. They even sit on the same plat and the same food they're ordering, eating the same type of food. Hello, wake up. What's the difference? Lot of things here is, it's really interesting. wonders. Interesting wonders rather than no words to describe what's happening in the realm here. So Dharma practitioners and non-Dharma practitioners, differences is attitude and motivation. Non-Dharma practitioners might not have the kind of attitude and motivation I'm talking about here, because they didn't try it yet. But they have potential to do that. Attitude and motivation that permeate the activities. The activities, we're talking about what you do, what you say, and what you think. Three parts: your body, speech, mind. There's no other activities come from beyond these three: body, speech, and mind. So permeate the activities, both positive and negative. So the good practitioners will know what is ultimately harmful for you, what is ultimately harmful for everybody. And a good practitioner will know that what is good for me and what is good for everybody. They will know that. That's the difference, is the good practitioner and not good practitioner, difference between them. So, result will be positive or negative. So the good practitioner is supposed to be reduce negative activities and increase positive activities, so that there will be everything, anything they do is a positive activities. Beneficial for yourself, beneficial for everybody. So that's our goal, our message here. Spiritual practitioners perceive not just their suffering, but its causes. This means spiritual practitioner perceived not just their suffering, means seeing the suffering and pain is not enough. We need to see where they come from. What causing the suffering? That will be the cause of suffering. Once you know the cause of suffering, you're no longer making jokes. Amateur practitioner. You become a mature practitioner, but because of you know the cause and effect, both. Knowing cause and effect, both. Majority of people, unenlightened beings, complain about the suffering, but they can't really figure out the cause of suffering, how it come, why is it happening. But it causes, and therefore able to dig out the root of this suffering. Means until we take care, remove root of cause of suffering, the suffering will be come again and again, again and again. Just like fighting with your family. It's not finished fighting unless he or she died. Still there is a time to fight. There's a more time you can fight. It is a form of human communication, is fighting, but it's also a form of communication that used by animals. The animals, their communication is of fighting or territory, their space, and all of those things. That they mark them. This is my area, this is your area, kind of thing. What's the difference of that in a human? Pretty much, even though human more intelligent, supposed to be very smart, but part of the human also not too far from animals. In other words, we behave. Our behavior is not far from animals. We have that. Not all human beings, but many of them. So here and saying, dig up the root of this suffering and replace them with the seed of positive actions. See, we plant seed, all right, everybody planting seed with our body, speech, mind, every day, every moment, every hour. But the question is, what kind of seed we planting? We're planting a negative seed, that what goes around comes around. So here, the message from the book of Heartfelt Advisor says, hey, we need to plant positive seeds. Eliminate the negative seeds, but replace with the positive seeds. And the more we plant the positive seeds, and more fruition of positive seed you will experience. So that was the first part of the paragraph. Next, spiritual practitioners dedicated their body, speech, and mind to diligently plant such seeds of positivity for the benefit of all sentient beings. I know all human beings are human beings. It's all one class and one category. But some figure out planting positive seeds. The others could not figure out to planting a positive seeds. Difference is there. I ask you, let's we together plant some positive seeds and rest of our life. Whatever age you got left, it's called leftover. Leftover life that you have, leftover your energy you have, let's plant some positive seeds. Let's do it. Don't wait it, because the time is not waiting. And everything is moving. Everything is shifting. This is a November, is that 15? November 15, 2015, November 15, it's moving really fast. Time is moving fast. Many of us might not have more than 10 years or 5 years. That's what I call very short time left. For me, I will call, that's a very short time left. So, before too wait, before too long, it's a time, it's a right now, let's plant some positive seeds. Since you are interested in Dharma, you believe you're spiritual practitioners, let's plant seed. How are we going to plant seed? Your body, speech, mind, attitude, motivation. Let's focus. So, planting some seed, positive seed, something ultimately helpful, something positive, helpful for you, it's helpful for everybody. That will be the positive seed. So let's plant that together. So it's a spiritual practitioners dedicated their body, speech, and mind diligently plant such a seed of positivity for the benefit of all sentient beings. Helping others is actually Buddha activity. Hurting others is negative activity. So helping others, there is no number, others is a bodhisattva activities. So helping others. So our body, speech, or mind, we dedicate to helping others. That will be bodhisattva activities. And that's the part of the practice. So how are we going to use helping others? So here saying, for the benefit of all sentient beings. So it says that the mind, it says, the body, speech, or mind diligently plants such seeds of positivity for the benefit of all sentient beings, not simply their own, just as someone with a deadly disease would take the prescription for the medicine that cures them. Spiritual practitioners take their practice of Buddha Dharma just as seriously, for it is only the Dharma that can save them from the suffering of samsara. So if you care about your negative emotions, if you care about your clashes or negative emotions, anger, jealous, attachment, desire, if you care about that, you need to work on that. You need to reduce that. Those are the ones creates negative karma. When you exercise, when you practice your anger, your jealous, hatred, those are the ones creates negative karma. And then the more negative karma you create, more you have to pay for it, more you suffer. You can always complaining. Complain doesn't really get any better. Complain is not a solution. If you're really complaining, then change your attitude and motivation. And you refocus your body, speech, and mind. Simple as that. The spiritual practitioner makes a voluntary commitment to practice the Dharma for the benefit of all sentient beings. Practitioners make commitment and says, I'm not going to hurt anybody. I'm going to love everybody. I'm going to respect everybody, regardless how bad they behave is. How bad they treat me bad, I'm going to, in return, I'm going to respect them. Those are the commitments. If you don't make any commitments, there will be no practice. There will be no progress. Progression. There will be no progression. Progression is depends on your practice. Without it says, the Dharma for the benefit of all sentient beings without exception. It is important to remember not thinking about you and your boyfriend, girlfriend only, or husband, wife, or children. But you need to think about all living beings. When you say, do pray for my brother or my sister or sick or something, do pray for all sentient beings who need to pray, including my sick sister or brother. That might be appropriate if you are Buddhist. Because I need to get healthy. Everybody else, I don't care. That's not the work. And it's also easy to say, you do it, prayer, rather than I need to do prayer. So those of you who say do prayer, from now on, also you do prayer, besides asking other people do prayer. Because they're not lonely, or they don't know what to do. It's good you do the prayer, because you realize need a prayer. So you do the prayer. Maybe you need to say, I'm doing prayer for so-and-so. Please, anybody do prayer for our Sangha, something. That would be good. But, you know, oh, my horse died. Lama, you do prayer. Well, what happened to your mouth? What happened to your mantra? You don't have any of those? After all, it's your horse. So you should do more. It's your horse. I don't know. I never seen your horse. But that's kind of how I see people. So it's easy to ask somebody else to do it than rather than doing yourself. If you are Buddhist, you know the mantra. If you don't know any mantra, do you have any love, respect, kindness? Project that with who need that. Send good wishes. Send healing energy. Don't tell me you don't have those. So we need to remember. And here it says, without exception. We have to remember, once we know it's 1%, and what we don't know, it's 100%. So when we do aspiration prayer, we remember 1%, the ones we see it, and ones we hear. But that's only 1%. What about 99%? We can't ignore that. So we have to say, may all beings benefit without exception. And that covers the ones we just don't know their name yet, or we just don't know they exist even. But we share, projecting. That's the Buddhist power of the practice. It's enough power to reach all beings equally. Wow. Why don't we do that? So we love all living beings. I know one guy asking either Dalai Lama, I think in a movie, I think you probably remember this, 7 years in Tibet or something. And this hero asking Dalai Lama, young Dalai Lama, said, how simply can I know all living beings? It's impossible to know all living beings. And why are we doing prayer for them? That was the question. That was the Western question. And I see where they came from. I can see how the Western mentality came from. You can see that. But it's not you can help the all living beings on earth. It is the scope of your dedication. The size of dedication, scope or the size of your dedication is so powerful, so no exception. The reaching out. Reality, you're right. If the Buddha or Jesus Christ or the Son of the God may not ever to help some of us, or maybe cannot reach all living beings, how are we going to reach all living beings? Just common sense, use your logic. If the enlightened beings can't reach all living beings, liberate, don't expect that you can liberate all living beings. That's the logic. That's the logic. So therefore, if you can make 1% differences in a life, and then 2, then 10, you're making major contribution, practice bodhisattva activities. So that's how we need to take in reality. But the encouragement or the power of compassion is no exception. You reach all of them. So here it says, spiritual practitioner makes a voluntary commitment to practice the Dharma for the benefit of all sentient beings without exception. And they view their relationship with these fellow sentient beings like a relationship between a mother and her child, the only child. I know enlightened beings never received enough love. I know. You didn't receive enough love, therefore you have a little shortage love to give anybody, because really you don't know what you're talking about. But a mother, the only one child, supposed to be have a great love. If you have many kids, then your love split. You have to share with everybody. But only one child, then your concentration is a one. So the only child, the mother love towards the only child, there is a tremendous attachment. Perhaps there is a tremendous love. Perhaps there is unconditional love also. It was not a conditional love. It may have also ingredients with unconditional love, because the mother may not thinking about, oh, when he grow up, he will take care of me. He might come visit me in hospices when there's the older people locked up and come and give you a flower. Says, Mommy, I'm here. That's nice, but really, it's not that nice much. It's that nice. Nice will be if the mother took care of you 20 years to bring, grow up and take care of you. When your mother need your help, you take care of them for 20 years without questions asked, out of your love and kindness. That will be, I can say, well, there is a little bit that you can talk about. So that those you take care of your mother, father, especially mother, it's really good. Father is not coming too much, because father seems like a, father is a good guy. He's a good guy. Without father, we can't have any kids. So the father is good, but when it need to clean up the baby or raise the baby day to day, he run out of his energy. Of course, I'm talking myself. So can't keep up with as much as with the child compared with the mother. Mother will keep up with the child far more psychologically and biologically, physically. The mother that dedicates far more, maybe 3-4 times more than a father. Although some father might have a closer relationship with the child, but the majority, I'm talking about majority, the father is kind of like, he done his job long time ago. I'm making jokes, trying to make you laugh. Whereas a mother then, the major job is just began. So anyway, mother has a child, the only child her love. Can you ever imagine just handful of people here? Can you? Can we projecting love, kindness, like a mother, the only child? Can you, that kind of love, can you project only handful of people here towards each other? This is a legitimate question. And then more you love everybody, more your heart is abre el corazón, like open heart. The more you open your heart, the more you connect with each one of them. And my question to you is, have you ever practiced that? If you did not practice to love all sentient beings, it's too much. It's inconceivable. But what about a handful of people in one room? Can you project your love with everybody? Equally as your own son, equally as your own daughter, or equally as much as yourself, self-cherishing, self, that I is so important, I. Can you project that? If you haven't done that, you haven't practiced a bodhicitta practice yet. Bodhicitta practice is heartfelt. That each sentient beings come to your mind, you love them, and you care them. You wish them happiness. So If you haven't done that, you listen to Vajrayana teaching, Mahayana teaching, but as far as the practice is concerned, it's a manana. Or manana. Something like that. It's not really available for you. So, this will remind you when he says, relationship between mother and her only child. We don't need to believe, or you don't really ever to see or understand, but all living beings being our mother, and all living beings are being our children, father, mother. Relationship, it's countless times. Just single person have a relationship, multiple relationship. Just because we don't remember our memory, and we are confused, we don't remember previous life, does not mean they didn't exist. Because the teachings of the Sutra and Buddha says, why we call all mother sentient beings? Basically, there is no one living being never been your mother. They all been your mother. So the mother loved only the child. And they all love us, or each one of us, as like the only child from mother. And all sentient beings have been our mother. So we all them, like all of you, is my only child. Love, that kind of love, why we owe them. It's a fundamental coming from there. Teachings of the Buddha. That is the reason Buddha says, if you respect me, you have to love everybody. No exception. If you love me, if you respect me, you have to respect everybody, because everybody is your mother. Mother sentient being. Buddhist texts, when they recite the teachings, man namka danyang besenjin tamje. So all sentient beings between space and earth and water and air are our mother sentient beings. And therefore, no sentient beings is not your mother. All are your mother. Therefore, you owe them. You owe them love and kindness. That's a fundamental teaching coming from there. That was the reason that we practice the mother sentient being. Terminology coming from text is a mother sentient being. Spiritual practitioners first tame their own wild and confused mind. How good practitioner are you? How wild your mind is. How good practitioner you are, how confused the state of your mind. Has a lot to do with that. Then he says, so that it becomes a peaceful and gentle. Why are we talking about peaceful and gentle? Again, your projection, your body, speech, mind have a relationship with other living beings. If you are not peaceful and gentle, you're going to be too hard on everybody. You're going to hate, you care less, and you will disrespect, you push around. I mean, we see news all the time. It seems somebody really confused and they're shooting gun. Somebody really angry because of confused and shooting the gun and killing. If you think about the ones who were killed, they had nothing to do with that particularly reason to deserve to be killed the particular day. So therefore, if your mind and if your body, speech, your mind is trained as a peaceful and gentle, guess what? You will do things very gentle you will say things very kind and peaceful manner. And a peaceful and gentle will hurt less. And that's the common logic. So why don't you use that with your family friends, you know? You seem like running out of peace and harmony. You are very rough and expecting a major things, like expecting each other. Why you make mistake? Hey, I'm not Buddha, so I made a mistake. So the couples, they're expecting each other like perfect. The other one is perfect. Hey, start with no one is perfect. They always make mistakes. So where is your understanding? No one is perfect. So therefore, we have to tame our own wild mind. The more we tame our own wild mind, and it will less confused. It's the magic, because your mind become fully freedom from confusion. Free from confusion, your mind become like it's a light without cloud between. So the light will be fully benefit. Same, your mind will fully awareness, fully if they have less confused around. So it says a confused mind, so that it becomes a peaceful and gentle. Our practice being measured how peaceful, how gentle, when we involve with the body, speech, or mind, how gentle, how peaceful, has a lot to do with how affect our practice. And if you don't understand what I'm saying, that's your homework. You need to work on that. It is like taming a wild horse, so that in time we can ride it swiftly to a desired destination. Spiritual practitioners completely eliminate their own true enemy. True enemy is within yourself. True enemy is within yourself, one who tell you what to do, and one who you think who controlled you, and namely your own ego. Your ego says, this person deserves to be killed. That's why you kill somebody. And usually you make a lot of negative karma with your friends and families, because those are the sims available near you we can talk to, because strangers will not much listen to you much. So here, the true enemy, he says, completely eliminate. True enemy is ego clinging. Danzen jitawa, Tibetan word danzen jitawa. Danzen jitawa is a very fancy word for danzen, means ego clinging. As long as ego clinging is a big, ego clinging is a big and enormous, control us, then we dare not let it go things. Like material positions, you don't want to let it go. And also family, friend, you try to be solidified, become strong, solid, so you don't want to let it go. And a painful experience, you won't let it go even. You want to keep that too, even though it's a painful experience. So ego clinging, leaving it completely vanquished and destroyed. The idea is ego clinging, leaving it completely vanquished. That my understanding based on my little understanding, is when you completely embrace, embrace means completely reach all sentient beings under the love of your umbrella. The center cord of your ego becomes so small, almost non-exist. When you don't have any ego, you also, not only ego disappeared, but all your problem also disappeared. There is no problem whatsoever because there is no ego. So let's meditate here. That will be the chapter 103 page. So let's meditate. Sarva Mangalam.
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 Are you all have auspicious life, auspicious day? Thank you very much.